Thanks Band. The songs were amazing, weren't they? Can I just read some of the words to the last song? And it's partly our prayer. Is that too quiet now? That's better, isn't it? Yeah. So Lord, we want to confess this morning that our heart without you is restless. And we know that you are our home. We want to confess that all our streams are found in you. And that you're all we want, you're all we need. And Lord, I pray this morning that we can go deeper in you. I pray, Lord, it'll be like you sitting next to us, just holding us, reaching out to us. I do pray for that experience today for many, many people here. Amen. I feel quite moved this morning. I haven't had that feeling for a while when I got up here. And certainly very challenged. Thank you, Liz. Where is Liz? Hi. Thank you, Liz. Did you pick up on that kind of reading she gave? Was it from Oswald Chambers? Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Liz was quoting from Oswald Chambers, who was referencing Mary Magdalene. And the crazy thing is, actually, I've got the only picture I've got in, well, apart from that picture, the only picture I've actually got in the PowerPoint is of Mary Magdalene. And it's her resting against Jesus. It's kind of resting, you'll see it in a bit, resting on his knee. Just kind of resting in his lap, and just that real intimacy. And that's the word that came out to me today as well, intimacy. And it really kind of cut me up a little bit, because what Liz was quoting from here was kind of almost a question Oswald Chambers was asking us. Does my doctrine overtake my experience? And that's like, wow. In other words, does my head knowledge overtake our relationship with Jesus? And what a challenge for me. You know, I'm standing out here, kind of spending a fair few hours preparing kind of heady stuff, you know, work, kind of writing it down. It's a lot of it's head knowledge. And yet the question to me, before anyone else, is does my experience, does my relationship hold up and catch up with my knowledge? And I kind of think that might be the question for you guys as well, partly, for some of you. And so that's partly what I'm asking today. So Chris has given us preachers in the next 3 months or 2 months the freedom to kind of speak on as God leads. And so as God was leading me is the kind of word delight and treasure. And it's kind of up there. So the question today is God our treasure? Is God our delight? And there's lots of other words that kind of link to that, which I'll show you in a second. And I think this talk is mainly for Christians who've been round the block. What I mean by that is kind of Christians that have been Christians for some time. I don't necessarily mean old Christians. I kind of mean Christians that have been in church for a while. And I want to speak, first of all, to those perhaps here that aren't so used to church, or perhaps you don't come to church so often. I want you to be at peace today and just take what you take. Take what God gives you. Feel his love. Feel his presence. But in a way, don't quite feel the word or the challenge quite like it is for me. I've been a Christian now for quite a few years, and it's definitely a challenge for me. I also want to talk to people perhaps are sitting here today who are tempted to emotionally disconnect. Those that might be, even as Gary's talking, thinking, I've heard this before. Not necessarily from me, but just kind of in your experience of church. So I think I'm talking to you as well. And you're almost tempted, even as I'm talking, to kind of go, I know where this talk's going, and I don't like the sound of it. Experience, delight, treasure. And there's almost a self-preservation going on here, possibly for some of you. And I want to talk to you. I really want to talk to you. And that's my heart today. That's what makes me tearful, actually. It's that group of people particularly. Okay. I'm pressing the forward button, but it's not having it at the minute. What I am going to show you in a second is a list of words that are kind of linked to treasure. And it will start up again, it will work. So the words that I'm going to put up on the screen are all words that are kind of linked to Jesus being my treasure. So for example, Jesus, my only satisfaction. Jesus, my one true delight. Jesus Christ, my song. There's a kind of a interesting metaphor. Jesus Christ, the one thing. Jesus Christ, my life, my all in all. Thank you. And what you can kind of see from those words there is just how personal they are. And I deliberately, I think, put the word my in front of them. Your. That is your experience. That is your privilege. That is your birthright, actually, all of you. That's your inheritance to be able to sing and declare those words. It's not just for some super charismatic, touchy-feely kind of Christian. That's for you. And then I've got two provocative, I think, or at least thought-provoking quotes from people we love after that, or at least I love them, Charles Spurgeon and C.S. Lewis. So taking those words at the top there with those quotes underneath, let's just feel a little bit of a kind of question mark here. If Christ is not all to you, Spurgeon says, he's nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part saviour of men and women. If he be something, he must be everything. And if he's not everything, he's nothing to you. That's a tough one, that. I like Lewis's one better. Spurgeon's at his most get the sword out there and just poke it into you. But let's just feel the love of C.S. Lewis slightly there come through. C.S. Lewis, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward, oh no, I've gone too far there. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We're like ignorant children who want to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. And this is the bit that goes to my heart. We are far too easily pleased. As Christians, we are far too easily pleased. In other words, our experience is far too easy to please. We're offered so much more as an experience. Now, I know sitting here, there are a number of different personality types. The introverts, the extroverts, those that are more expressive, those that are more like me, a little bit more kind of restrained, maybe, if I can use that word. But I do want to say that our faith, Christianity, is both belief and experience. Belief, sound doctrine, and experience. It is thinking and feeling. And it is knowledge and emotion. Now, some of us will express one or be inclined more to one than the other. But actually, our hearts, our souls, our lives need both. We need both. And I would probably say that belief, knowledge, truth, then allows experience. And I think that's a good way of seeing our faith. You know, we get that revelation of who Jesus is, and that should allow some kind of experiential reaction. How do you react to this picture? Oh, before you react to that picture, how do you react to these words? I'm not going to read them to you. Not to start with, I'd like you to read them yourself, if you can. Are they too small? Can you? I'll read them as well. Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Psalm 37, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can you hear the experiential words coming out here? Psalm 63, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. You satisfy me. That word's coming up today, satisfaction. Are we satisfied in God? And Philippians 3, one of my favorite actually. Paul's just saying everything else is rubbish. He kind of uses a word that kind of means muck, dung almost. I consider it rubbish, he says, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom's sake I lost all things, that I might be found in him. How do you react to those words? And we'll get onto that picture now. How do you react to this picture? It's a real picture of intimacy, isn't it? I think it's Mary Magdalene. Not sure. It's certainly resting on Jesus' lap. I did try and find a picture of a bloke doing the same, because I actually kind of feel that sometimes the woman thing, it almost appeals more to ladies because they can relate to that. But men, try and kind of cue into this. What's your reaction when you see yourself resting on Jesus' lap like that? And the words to a song, which I'm going to play in a second. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I found you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet. Wow, what a thing to declare. I want to sit at your feet. Where's our heart with that one? Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. Real experience going on there, isn't there? And hopefully when I click on this, the song's going to start. And it's just a few minutes for us just to kind of ponder where we were at.
The more I see.
The song's actually by Carrie Job, if you're interested. It's a really good album. I'd recommend it. Let's do a kind of rain check on our hearts at this point. I suspect there's probably some different reactions to what I've been saying so far in that song and that picture. Some of your hearts are kind of going, yes. Your hearts are soaring. That's the experience you want, or that's the experience you've felt before. That's the experience you want. Some of you, maybe not so much so. Maybe there's a little bit of guilt and shame there. And I suspect some of you, and I would have been inclined, certainly in the past, to do the same, to be almost shutting off at this point. Barriers down. It's almost like an emotional protection saying, not for me. So I just want to hold you in those different places and say, you know, where are you at? And where are we with our longings? Should we acknowledge our longings? Our longings for God? What about our pursuit of God? Not just today, because, you know, today can be kind of dictated by how we felt in the morning and different things that are happening to us. But what about our journey over the last months and this year and last year? Where are we at with longing after God? And I just want to say, even as Christians, let us not think that as Christians we have found everything. We've been found by Christ, but the paradox is that Christ allows us to keep searching more for him. The Holy Spirit work within us is to be found by him and know him, but still somehow reach out for more. We must never think we have everything. We do have everything. We have everything in Christ, but yet there's more. How do I explain this? I can't. We have everything in Christ, but there's more. And that's, you know, we know that's true. This can only happen, this longing for more, when we have this new birth. You know, we do need that born-again experience. We need Christ's Spirit within us. And when his Spirit comes within us, we naturally say, Lord, I want more of you. And be encouraged today, if you're sitting there saying, I want more, it's God's work within you. And be encouraged, even if you're sitting here not wanting more, but you kind of want to long for more. Do you know what I mean by that? You're kind of one step back, but you kind of know I should be there. That's God's Spirit. That's working. Be encouraged. So, let me start with a big thought. Our delight and longing after God glorifies him. You sitting here being stirred, your longing after God actually glorifies God. It pleases him. And let me ask you another question. I'm going to point at you. What's your chief purpose in life? Ever thought of that question? What's your chief purpose in life? And there's some really good answers that you could come up with, all good and godly answers. You know, loving God, serving others, reaching out to others, spreading the gospel. They are beautifully good and right answers. Then the saints of old, kind of a long time ago, they came up with what they called the Old Westminster Catechism, and they asked this question: what is the chief end of man? You can tell they were old because they used the word man. What is the chief end of men and women? And the answer they came up with is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoy. And lots of kind of theologians have played around with that one, and John Piper more recently kind of just changed one word. And I think actually it's a really helpful extra word. We glorify God by enjoying him. Think about that. Could that be your chief aim in life? It's certainly to give glory to God, isn't it? All the heavens declare. But how do we best do that? By enjoying his presence and just saying thank you. When I first started this sermon, you know what this sermon was first about? It was first about God's will for our lives. I had it on a piece of paper for about a week, like God's will for our lives. And I thought I was going to, and I asked Christiana at Christmas, because Christiana's had so much kind of God speaking to her direction, hasn't she? And I was trying to get the wisdom of Christiana, and she was giving me all these great things about kind of laying out fleeces and you know, how God's spoken to her. And I thought, that's my sermon. And then it just kind of got stuck. And then I realized, really, God's will for our lives, him as a treasure, as our delight. And if you look in the Bible, the only times it directly in the New Testament talks about God's will for our lives, it says giving thanks and praying continuously. In other words, relationship. There are good other things we can seek for our lives, but ultimately, delight is the big thing. I'm pretty sure of that. Can I just say also, this is not self-indulgent Christianity here. If we want to reach out to others, what's the best way we can do that? By glowing, by being joyful, by being actually delighted in our God. Think about the people that have been most helpful to you in drawing you to faith and encouraging. Think about that in the past. Wasn't it the people that just had something about them? Didn't you kind of watch them from a distance? I certainly did. It was at university. There was a chap called John. You'll probably never listen to this. So John Payne, there you go. If you listen to this, John Payne, thank you. I was sitting in a university lecture theatre, hundreds of people doing geography, and he just glowed in the corner. Then I found out why. Because he was in love with God. So a 20-year-old, massive fella, literally massive fella, worked out every day, but man, he loved God and knew he was loved by him. And it glowed. And that was part of my journey. Someone delighted in God drew me to God. What does it mean to be satisfied in him? How do we know if God's our real treasure? Let's ask that question now. How do we know it? I think the answer is you kind of know. I think that's the honest answer. You kind of know. But let me just ask a really basic question. Over weeks and months, not just today, but over weeks and months, what are you dwelling upon? What are you thinking about? What fills your thoughts? Not every thought. I'm not getting religious here and kind of like a Pharisee. But in the course of a day, what excites you? Do you ever get excited? You know, what excites you? Because, you know, where our treasure is, there is our heart. And it will express out through our words and particularly what we're going through in our heads. Do we ever get excited, and I bet we do, by Christ crucified? Jesus Christ crucified for us. Because that's the biblical thing, isn't it, what Paul said. Paul said in Corinthians 1, I resolve to know nothing with you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Galatians 6 says, may I boast in nothing. Boast kind of means may I dwell upon, in that example, may I dwell upon nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I don't want to unpack, I haven't got time today to unpack this. Do we get excited by Christ crucified? Do we get excited that you have died to the world and you are a new creation? Just want to ask you that question. I was going to then move on to how can God become a greater treasure to me? Because that's your logical conclusion to this talk. How can God be a greater treasure to me? And I was jogging a few days ago, and I've learnt over the last few weeks to take a pen and paper with me as I'm jogging, because that seems to be the best place to kind of free my head of all the stuff of the week. And I felt this. The kind of Lord kind of saying to me, not to ask you the question, how can he be a greater treasure, but why? So, does that make sense? It's almost like the Lord kind of asking a question here. The real and first question isn't how they can make me more their treasure, but why am I not more their treasure? And I come up with two things that really, really kind of just hit me. This is for me. You don't realize what a challenging week I have ahead of me because I've got a week off work. And I have to live this week because I've just been talking to you about it. And seriously, I know I have to because that is my challenge. I keep using the word challenge. I'm not sure I should be using the word challenge because this is about delight. This is my calling. There's a better word. And I'm pretty sure it's a calling for a lot of us. Why isn't God more of our delight? And I think it's a modern, particularly modern thing, busyness and noise. My goodness, what a challenge that is for us. The busyness and noise of our lives. I'll unpack that in a minute. And also that thing about being in control. There's something about Mary Magdalene there laying on his lap. I react against that because that's me bowing my knee. It's kind of me letting go. I'm not sure that always I want to let go. Can I talk about busyness and noise for a bit and how that gets away of being delighted in God? We know the famous psalm, don't we? Be still and know that I'm God. And Kierkegaard was a famous Danish philosopher in the 19th century. Here you go, and here's a lovely quote. And he was a Christian, by the way. Busyness, hustling hither and yon. There's the Victorian language coming out. Busyness, hustling hither and yon makes it almost impossible for a Christian to form a heart. Busyness, hustling hither and yon, makes it almost impossible for a Christian to form a heart. And I guess without a heart, we're a little bit stunted in our experience. I'm looking at this and thinking, ouch, because I've got a little thing here that says my testimony. And I'm feeling a bit scared. Do you know, I hate quietness. I really do. And I know it's been, and I know it will be this week for me after I talk to you, a journey that I have to go on. I am slightly addicted to being busy and always doing things and jobs. No, addicted is the wrong word. And I know why. Because if I'm stiller, if I'm quieter, my longings, my deep longings will come to the surface. And I suppress sometimes my longings for God and the ache that's sometimes there. And we all have that God-shaped hole. And quietness and stillness is this wonderful thing. Be still and know that I'm God. God kind of comes in, speaks, and it's harder to kind of push him out when we're quiet. And so I make busyness a virtue. Now, I have a busy job and I can't get away from that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I'm not at work, or even in those quiet moments, even when I am at work. Why do I look to be busy at those points at home? Why do I fill my day with virtuous things? And I know for me, it's something about my longings have to be just kept in a box. Because if I expose my longings, my heart to Jesus, wow, I'm kind of just making myself vulnerable there. And I'm not saying that's for all of you, but I suspect that's something for a lot of us we have to ask. Can we be stiller? Can we be quieter? Do you know, and I've said this in the past, do you know when I'm most vulnerable to temptation? Particularly those temptations that sometimes come more to blokes. It's in the holidays, at the start of the holiday. Because all the way through work, the lack of intimacy with God is kind of pushed out. Because work's so all-consuming. And when we're quiet and still, and holidays allow me to be quieter and still, I suddenly realize that a lot of my satisfaction in life is not being drawn from God. And that makes me vulnerable. And even then, at those points, I'll look to other things, other sources for satisfaction. That's okay. No, that's not okay. That's okay that I recognize it, actually. And that's a massive step. And do you know what? This week, I've got to be still. The Lord put a phrase for me, at least. I've got to groan and wait. Groan as in the biblical groaning to God. Lord, Lord, that kind of groan. Just when you haven't quite got the words, Lord, come. Just come into this gap. Come into this gap. That's my groaning. Groan and wait, Gary. And don't wait until tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Second one, be in control. I'm going to just quote C.S. Lewis, that slide back at the front. Be in control. When infinite joy is offered and we choose to go on making mud pies in a slum because we can't imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased. When infinite joy is offered to me and you, when the promise is to take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, what holds me back? And this is when I'm going to go to Tozer. I haven't quoted Tozer for a couple of years. It's been too long. So I'm going back to Tozer. What holds me back? He used a slightly old-fashioned language. Is why do I tarry? Hold back. Wait. Kind of like, there's the joy. There's the delight. Why do I falter and not step into it? And he used this language. Talks about the Holy of Holies, which is a place, the temple in New Testament times. When Jesus died, the veil was torn in this temple. In other words, God was saying, here is access to me. Come into the Holy of Holies. Before, the Jewish people had to wait outside in the outer tabernacle, outer courts. And now they were invited in. And Tozer was using that kind of metaphor. Why do I wait outside the Holy of Holies and never enter at all to look upon God? We hear the bridegroom. Take that. And men, take that. Jesus is your bridegroom. Take that as well. It's easier for ladies to take that. We hear the bridegroom, that is Jesus, saying, come, my love, and draw close. We sense the call is for us, but somehow the years passed and we grow old and tired in the outer courts. Somehow the years passed and we grow old and tired in the outer courts. And he asked the question, why do I tarry in the outer courts? And he's then talking to you. He says, I'm going to answer honestly, he said. I'm addressing thirsty souls. So I'm bold to name the threads of this inner veil of our hearts that hide the face of God from us. Here we go, he said. Self-sufficiency, self-confidence, self-pity, self-righteousness, and all the host of other self-sins that are there. And I think if we're honest, we knew the answer before Tozer told us. We don't want to sometimes bow our knee and step in. We don't always want to sit at his feet because that means surrender. And surrender is the hardest thing for a human being to do. It's the original sin, if you want me to say. It's pride. Surrender. But it's the way we know. It's the way in. It's the path. The song said, I want to sit at your feet. But sometimes we just want to stand on our own 2 feet, independent and in control. But praise God, because he's working in our lives. The Holy Spirit works, and it's all about, the whole of our lives is about us drawing, letting that stuff go. I was thinking about Romans 8. You know Romans 8? In all things, God works for the good, those who love him. Good. I mean, what can be good about some of the circumstances in our life? How can good come from some circumstances we face? And I think I've got it. In all the circumstances and trials of our life, it strips away, in a sense, our self. And we just surrender more and more. The tough stuff that you face, even in the last year, what's it done? It kind of just... There's a surrender there, isn't there? There's a kind of... I'm just gonna fall there. I'm just going to have to wait. You're going to have to come in here, Lord. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the good. And that's the Holy Spirit work in your life. That's the promise. He's drawing you to his lap. Final thought. I'm not doing too badly for time. Final thoughts about this treasure. Practically, how can we make God our treasure? I'm not going to dwell on the first one, but I think I know from my own experience it's true. Give generously and sacrificially. If we're struggling to make Christ our treasure, something about money, there isn't there. Money has a hold. We know that. It's biblical. We're called to be good stewards, but I think we're not called to let it dominate us. If it's dominating us, sacrificially surrender it. And the last one is a little bit weird, maybe. You're thinking, what's going on there? Why the word jealous all of a sudden? This really spoke to me. If he's going to be our treasure, our delight, our the one that we love, know he is jealous for you. And that's not a human jealousy of kind of like the wrong kind of green-eyed monster. That is the jealousy of a husband who desires to be close to the bride. In Exodus 20, I mean, this is biblical. The second commandment, have no idols. The second commandment in Exodus 20, have no idols, nor bow down and worship, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And further in Exodus number 34, the Lord, whose name is jealous. And I love that song, he is jealous for me. Remember that song from a few years ago? It's a lovely song. And that jealousy is a jealousy of a husband who wants his bride to be close. It's the jealousy of the Old Testament where the Lord was like, Israel, Israel, return to me. My, you know, in my covenant, return to me. And I believe it's good and proper that the Lord is jealous for us. We are would be, as a what earthly, good earthly husband or wife would not be jealous for their spouse if their spouse was away. Now times that by infinity to get the Lord's heart for us. And if you're struggling to connect with the fact that he is our treasure, see that for eternity he has been pursuing you. Pursuing you. Like the lover, the bridegroom, pursuing the bride. Pursuing you. Chasing after you. Winning you. Wooing you. Saying, come. Come. I can't think of a way to really connect with Christ being our treasure unless we realize we are his treasure. And we're back to the cross, Christ crucified. For eternity. You've been absolutely amazing, because I know that's a lot today. And I just know that's a lot. I just want to thank you really for listening. I heard the worship guys playing this song at the start, and it pretty much cut me to pieces. They're going to sing the song, Come to the Altar. And I struggle at these points, as the person out the front, to know how to be authentic and allowing you to respond in a way that's not pressured. Last, I don't want pressure, I don't want manipulation, I don't want to kind of say, do this, do that. But I kind of know that these things often require a step, don't they? It's like, why do I tarry? Why do I not step? Why do I not respond? And this song just causes us to respond. And my thought was today to invite you, if that's right for you, to sit at the front, sitting at his feet. This is not about you kind of having to say, Lord, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. That may be why you come to the front. But just to sit at his feet and express the longings. That's there for you if you want to make that step. Can I just hold you in prayer to finish with? Lord, I thank you for your beloved people that I'm looking at or have been looking at. I thank you for the beloved. I thank you that we are the bride of Christ. I speak belovedness, love, cherishness to everyone here, that we will know and that our hearts will connect. Lord, where there's letting go to be let go, Lord, I pray that over this week, today perhaps, we will let go. Where things have been holding us, Lord, where things have been too much of a treasure, where we've been looking for other things to satisfy, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Just put your finger on it now. Help us to be brave in you, Lord, and respond. I pray for those that can't be still. May we know the ache of being still and the language of intimacy as we cry out and groan out to you. Help us now, Lord.